Good morning.
Hi.
You're not beat down yet. I'll continue the beat down, and then you'll be tired. My name is Chuck Palm. I'm with Canyon Ranch Institute. And very important to say, I have no relationships to disclose. I'm with a nonprofit, 501c3, public health organization that was the brainchild of has anybody heard of Canyon Ranch Resort? Has anybody been there? Yes, you can't afford it. The folks who put together the Canyon Ranch Resort about 35 years ago, at the time, really thought they were going to create a haven for people to go to get healthy. And what they did is they had great success, and they created a resort that was exclusive to people who could afford to go. And so they were finding out over 30 years that people were going to the Canyon Ranch, getting healthier, but their metrics for success weren't public health metrics. The metrics for success were, are people coming back and bringing their friends? And that, in a weird way, was actually disturbing to the founders of that organization, of that resort. And so about 12 years ago, they founded this nonprofit institute. And a couple of years later, after figuring out they didn't know what they were doing, they decided that what they needed to do was hire somebody who did. And so their first president of the board for Canyon Ranch Institute was Dr. Richard Carmona, who was our 17th Surgeon General. And he brought over his key staff, and since then has built up an organization of experts that can really kind of do some things that are absolutely touched on today. And thank you very much for these really great opening presentations. Our whole purpose at the Canyon Ranch Institute is to catalyze the change that we're talking about in people by using an integrative health approach, by implementing programming and policy changes and all of that, that have as part of its tenet health literacy. And we work collaboratively in communities to help underserved populations. That's who we work with. That's why we work. We work around the country and internationally. The program I'm going to describe to you today that integrates complementary and alternative medicine techniques as well as more traditional techniques, but is really employing this integrated team concept and health literacy, is called the Canyon Ranch Institute Life Enhancement Program. We're in these different cities around the country right now. We're about to start up three new sites, including Alaska and in Texas. And what you'll see at the end of the presentation are our outcomes based on pre-post matched pair data, so that there's no wiggle room in what our data can show to you. And there are 8 stars here, but the data will be for 7 of the sites. One of them is too new to have data to report. The program that I'm describing, the Life Enhancement Program, is for high-risk people who are at high risk or already have chronic disease. People who are in that 75% of healthcare spending that was described earlier. People who, as you probably know, really have no way of understanding in a global sense how they got where they're at. I'm fat. I'm sick. My doctor told me to take these pills. I mean, they don't even know what's going on with their lives. All they know is that something needs to happen, or maybe they don't even know that yet. They're in the program. They're recruited from low-income and traditionally underserved communities. One of the communities is in the South Bronx, New York. The South Bronx is still the lowest SES congressional district in the country, and yet they have a thriving program that's part of these data here. In Western Massachusetts, we're working with some people who are so crazy working in the hotel industry that they actually have a term for it. It's called the Berkshire Shuffle in the Berkshire County. It's where you're going from job to job to job to make ends meet. And that's not true with everywhere else. For example, in the south part of Tucson, Arizona, their issue isn't about shuffling from job to job. It's about getting jobs. And it's about dealing with not being a white multi-job worker in the Berkshires, but being a poor, underserved Mexican-American, Central American living in South Tucson. So we work with populations of all different types in this program around the country. The average age of people that are coming into this program is over 50, and that's skewed by early program cohorts that were recruiting older people into the program who could actually make it to the program. They're skewing much younger now in terms of trend. Most of the participants are female in this program, and I think that's true with most prevention programs around the country. And it's a problem. It's a problem that we're all struggling with in terms of recruitment and enrollment. The average years of education is 12 years, but that ranges all the way from, in the South Bronx, an average education level of 9 years to one site in northern Tucson that's averaging 14 years of education. 36% of the people in this program are employed full-time, but 41% are unemployed, and 7% are working more than one job. Now, we do an extensive intake post 3 months, post plus 1 year, and post plus 2 years for participants that we can grab later on. As they present into this program, 68% of them are overweight or obese, but that's misleading. I would say very few of them are overweight. Most of these people are obese in that percentage. Almost half of them have high blood pressure. Over a third of them have high cholesterol, or about a third have type 2 diabetes. About a third are also depressed. I mentioned that the way that this program works isn't, and I'm going to describe the program itself, but a tenet of this program is health literacy. And how many of you are absolutely sure you know what health literacy is walking in the room? Right? So you got a couple. I know there are always people who are absolutely working in this milieu or have studied it very well. Health literacy, according to the Calgary Charter, it really has five important elements, but it can have more. And generally what happens is, and we're all guilty of this a lot, whether we've tried to do something for ourselves or not, we can find and understand information like nobody's business. And in fact, that was on one of the slides here, that there's information available to people, but it's really hard to know what to do with it and to apply it into your life in a way that actually works. And so to take information and then make it part of your life and to where you're changing what you're doing, whether it's not smoking anymore, living more healthily, finishing your degree, taking your kid to school like you promised to do, whatever the deal is, the literacy steps that need to happen are you need to get this information. You have to understand what's going on with it. So if it's health information, it's I need to understand the nutrition information that's given to me to address my type 2 diabetes. But I need to be able to evaluate it in a way that I can create a plan for myself, a plan for my life with this information. And what am I going to do next? Small steps, small steps, small steps. And then I need to communicate what I intend to do. And if you're not communicating your intentions, you're hiding them, you're ashamed of them, you're embarrassed by them, you're scared of failure, whatever it is, if you don't communicate them, you're less likely to incorporate them into your lives. And then ultimately you need to use. By use, I mean practice those positive behaviors until they become part of your life, or you have to go back and start practicing all over again. The CRI Life Enhancement Program, just as our previous speaker was talking about, we work with a healthcare center in each of these communities as a partner. Based from that healthcare center, we help train and structure an integrated team, an interdisciplinary team of healthcare professionals that I'll describe in a little more detail. Their focus is on preventing rather than treating, and so people come into the program not necessarily having been diagnosed as the reason they're coming in, but rather because they want to prevent. And as my boss, Dr. Carmona, says, we want to create a model for converting what we have in this country, which is a sick care system, into what is actually a real, truly health care system. Integrative health is part of the CRI Life Enhancement Program in a sense that there's a focus on prevention in very specific ways, right? Through stress management, through nutrition and exercise, those things that people kind of get, but they're not really sure how it's supposed to integrate into their lives, all the way through getting screenings and engaging in less risky behaviors. For example, it is less risky to not smoke than to smoke. It is less risky to work out in a safe place than to work out on crumbling sidewalks or after dark. So in this program, it is a very integrated component of alternative and complementary modes. We work with this core team of professionals who often have no idea what we're talking about in truly integrating mind, body, emotion, and what do we do? How do I do that as a doc or an RN in an emergency room? In this program, participants are able to experience often for the first time how to meditate or given guided imagery or how to be quiet for 5 seconds or how to engage into yoga. These teams at these healthcare centers are built they're all qualified and credentialed members, and they represent integrative health, which is often a doc or a nurse, nutritionists, who are almost always registered dietitians, fitness professionals, behavior change specialists to include counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and spirituality and pharmacology specialists. The program is tailored to the community. We always do a formative research component in any community before we even allow the program to get started there. That's a qualitative, quantitative style. The program itself has 12 group sessions that are 3 hours long. They have food demonstrations, grocery store visits, fitness, stress management. The alternative modes are represented in those sessions as well. And I'm going to describe to you the one-on-one consultations. And there's a very consistent evaluation component. Probably what's unique about this program, among all of the components I've described so far, is that every participant gets a chance to engage in at least 4 one-hour-long consultations with specialists on the team. On average, in this country, we spend less than an hour with any healthcare professional, and that's over 3, 4, 5 different appointments after having waited 1 or 2 hours for each one of those appointments. In this case, we help train these professionals to start with, what do you want to talk about? As I mentioned, there's a significant post plus follow-up assessment protocol. And some of the outcomes are pretty good for us. We use the PHQ-9 scale to measure for depression. And across the board, we reduce depression by 38% in this program. For people who present at with a PHQ-9 score of 15 or higher, which means that they are at a level that they should be referred for further discussion with a professional, they reduce by almost half their depression levels. Stress is reduced by over a fifth. We ask how many days in the previous month were you unhealthy, and that goes down by half by the end of the program. By almost 40%, they increase their ability to do things. We do blood work. We do physical measurements. You can see that the BMI and the blood pressures are improving. And then when they talk about their behavior changes, they improve, they increase their moderate and strenuous exercise each week by 72 to 85%. That's a ton. If you're exercising zero, of course, anything is good. But if you're exercising maybe one day a week and maybe you kind of squeeze in one exercise, this is important that you've doubled it at that point. And if your minutes of exercise per week is up 48.5%, that means if you had 30 minutes, now you're at 45 minutes. And what I like in terms of glasses of water versus glasses of soda is that people are swapping out drinking soda, including diet soda, for drinking water, which is a very simple, small thing for people to be able to do. And we have a lot of other outcomes, but I just want to, I think the bottom line is that this program works. It uses complementary and alternative methods. It is an integrative health approach. It uses health literacy. It's in the community, it's recruited from community members, it's with healthcare partners locally, and it's with, it is one of the most gratifying programs I've worked with directly, and I'm really proud to sing its praises. So thank you.